Kia ora, Coven. Welcome to episode 2, episode Rua of the Vixen Temple podcast. In today's episode, I thought we would sit down and talk about slut shaming. Now, I want to preface this episode by saying that I myself am guilty of slut shaming. But in this episode, I want to talk more about the implications of having been the victim of slut-shaming myself. And in the future, I'm going to dedicate an entire episode to internalized misogyny, and I'll expand upon my slut-shaming in that episode. But for today's episode, here's what I've written in my notes in front of me, the topics that we're going to cover. We're going to talk about my experiences being slut-shamed. We're going to talk about high school slut-shaming, friends slut-shaming, parents, workplace, boyfriends, strangers, and then we're going to conclude with some final thoughts. Now, the structure of this is essentially going to be told through my experiences, but I also have some of your experiences in here. Now, at the end of last year, on my Vixen Temple blog Instagram, I posted to my story just saying, "Tell me about a time that you've been slut-shamed." And the response I got was so overwhelming. I got so many messages, I got so many replies, I couldn't even post them all. Be sure to be following at Vixen Temple blog on Instagram. I've made a highlight on my Instagram page so you can go and check them all out, but I'm going to be reading some of those out today. And let me tell you, some of them are just absolutely mind-boggling. So grab your cup of tea and let's talk about slut-shaming. Before I begin, I also just wanted to note that I have my Jessica Shore, the Black Mirror Oracle, Carly card. And Carly I've brought in with me because Carly is a deity that I've been doing a lot of work with this year to overcome a lot of sexual trauma. She is a very, very powerful and liberating goddess or deity or whatever you want to call her. And that's what I want to do with this discussion, is to try and liberate us all from the shackles that slut-shaming has placed upon so many of us. And as I read these stories that you've all submitted me, you're going to understand what I'm talking about when I say shackles, because slut-shaming really binds us. It really limits us. I read some of these stories, and as much as I laughed at some, I wanted to cry at others, especially the ones that happened from parents, mothers in particular. First of all, let's talk about what slut-shaming is. When I put up on my story asking for people to submit their slut-shaming experiences, I don't want to assume what everyone's gender identity is, but in regards to this context, many of them seemed to identify as women. And I feel when it comes to slut-shaming, it is femme bodies that get slut-shamed the most, because it's this implication that femme bodies need to be pure and innocent, and the minute men touch us, we become dirty, which I've always just thought, what does that say about men? You know, do they really hate themselves so much that the second they touch us, they're like, ooh, she's as dirty as I am now? Like, I've just never really understood slut-shaming, even having been guilty of perpetrating it in the past. So let's just get into my experiences with slut-shaming, which is first on my to-do list for this episode. I live in Aotearoa. We have primary school, intermediate, and high school. Intermediate, you're the ages of 11 to 13. I think it's the equivalent of what middle school is in America, but I could be wrong about that. But when I was in year 8, I was 12 and 13, I was a big, big fan of the TV show Girls of the Playboy Mansion or The Girls Next Door. And I came to school and I told everyone that I wanted to be a Playboy bunny. I wanted to date Hugh Hefner and live in his mansion with all the girls. And you can imagine what that did for me. I got picked on. I also recently put up on my main Instagram that I went back to my old intermediate recently, as I'm currently staying in my hometown for the rest of the year. And I had a memory of, in my year 8 talents show, I performed Hey Big Spender from Sweet Charity. And if you've heard the lyrics of that song, you'll know why I was targeted after that. I got called a wannabe stripper, a hooker, prostitute, all the names, slut, all the names in the book. And I laugh now because you've just got to. But at the time, it was really upsetting for me. I didn't understand why I was being called these things. I was 13 years old. I'd only ever really kissed a boy. I was so confused. Like, I'm not a slut. I haven't even had sex. What? I don't understand. And then high school started. And that's where the slut shaming got a lot worse for me. So I went to an all-girls school. During high school, I adored my friend group. We learned a lot from each other. But I was the friend in the group that guys liked. And to anyone out there who's been that friend in the group, you know what that can be like. Because unfortunately, my friends, instead of getting annoyed and resenting the men or the boys for liking me and coming to the girls saying, "Oh, your friend's hot, can I have her number? Oh, your friend's hot, can I talk to her? Is she single?" They would turn that resentment and project it towards me. Some of them were better at hiding it than others, but I felt it at the time not so much, but as I have been in lockdown and reflected on my past, I really remember it a lot more clearly now and can really feel that resentment even after all these years. And it was a real shame. I was the friend that guys were into, and I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that I'm very bubbly and a very confident person. I have a Leo sun, so I'm naturally very outgoing. I was very extroverted back in the day. And I think that made me the target of a lot of slut shaming because you see a woman being so confident within herself, and as I'll expand upon in my episode about internalized misogyny, we really want to tear that woman down because we see her as a threat. We see her as a threat to our own femininity and our own confidence. Oh, look at this girl, so unapologetic and so unashamed to be herself, and I'm not yet, so I'm going to be mad at her for it. I'm guilty of that too. Once again, want to specify that, but I will expand upon that in future episodes. But I was the friend in high school that really got the bar of slut shaming, which is a shame because not that slut shaming really even has anything to do with sex, but the definition of the word slut is a sexually promiscuous woman, and I didn't start having sex until I was 17. In New Zealand, the age of consent is 16. I was 17. I had sex with my boyfriend at the time. He cheated on me 2 weeks later. I'll talk about that in future episodes too. But while I was getting slut shamed, once again, in my innocent, 16-year-old teenage mind, I was like, I don't get it because I'm not a slut. I wouldn't say this now, but again, I was 16. I don't understand. I have not had sex. I recall a time, and this really has been ingrained into my head, and I will never forget it. There's two stories here. The first, I had a best friend in high school. For the sake of privacy, we'll call her a Lily. So Lily and I both had a funny thing happen to us at school, and we both made a Facebook status about it. And my Facebook status got more likes than hers. I didn't notice this. It was something she had an issue with because the next day we came to school and it was lunchtime and she was bitching about how my status got more likes than hers. And I can't remember what I said, but I made a joke about having more Facebook friends, or I don't know, I made some stupid joke thinking we were bantering as friends. And she turns to me with the most rage-filled eyes and says, "People only like your Facebook status because it's guys wanting to fuck you." And I just stopped and I was dumbfounded, like, sorry? A few months later, the same friend, she was having a crisis about how she just feels like guys don't like her and guys don't pay attention to her. And I was trying to cheer her up. I was saying, "Well, I think you're gorgeous, I think you're beautiful, and you love yourself, so that's all that matters." And she turns to me and she just very seriously looks me in my eyes and says, "You know, sometimes I get sad that I'm not the hot friend and I'll never be the hot friend. But at least I know that when guys are friends with me, It's because they actually respect me, whereas with you, guys will only ever try to fuck you. That really crushed me. I think I was 17 at this point. This was later in the year. And I just didn't understand why she was so mad at me for something I had no control over. And again, I never tried to rub it in my friend's face, like, oh, look at me, guys like me. I kind of hated it because of how much it made my friends resent me. The more guys would, flirt with me and hit on me, especially in front of my friends, I started to form this whole self-deprecation type humor to sort of mask the, oh, I don't want my friends to make fun of me for accepting this compliment, so I'm just going to ridicule myself so that I can show them I don't think I'm this arrogant person that you're trying to portray me as. And that's something that I'm now in therapy trying to unlearn. I don't want to carry those beliefs with me into my 30s, so I'm trying to undo those right now, and that's why I wanted to make a podcast about this. So that was a really just horrible experience for me, going through high school, being the friend that guys were into, and having my friends really slut shame me for it. The grass is always greener on the other side, and we always want what we don't have. So I hate to sit here and sound like, ooh, poor me, guys liked me growing up. But I just want to make a note. Being the object of male desire is not as great as the movies make it out to be, especially as I started to explore my sexuality more, which I will expand upon in future episodes. Being the center of the male gaze can really suck. Let's have a look at some of the high school and friend submissions that you all sent me last year when I put up the Tell Me About a Time You've Been Slut Shamed to my Instagram. And once again, be sure to be following my Instagram at Vixen Temple Blog because I'm going to be posting up a lot of topics that you can all engage in and I will read them out anonymously to my podcast. But here's some from the slut shaming. Other girls called me a slut in high school because I had friends and were having conversations with guys. I had a friend tell me, maybe if you got to know guys first before sleeping with them, maybe they'd actually like you. I was called a prude in high school for not having sex, so I had sex and instantly got called a slut and a whore. I was called a slut in high school because I liked to wear winged eyeliner. I was called a slut because I was tall and my school uniform sat higher on me. I was 7. Now, obviously, that last one was not about high school, but I had to add it in there because this person was 7 years old and being called a slut by other 7-year-olds, it would seem. Also, to the one whose friend said, maybe if you got to know guys before you slept with them, they'd actually respect you or like you or whatever. I hear you. That's essentially what my friend was saying to me. Guys don't even respect you. They just want to fuck you. This brings me to my next topic on my list, which is the workplace slut shaming. And that's something I too have experienced. My first proper part-time job, I worked for KFC. Ugh. Let me tell you, it was one of the worst jobs off my life, and I may expand upon this in a future podcast where I want to talk about the implication that sex workers are exploiting themselves, whereas I felt much more exploited in previous jobs, and KFC was really one of them. Some of the guys working there and I just got along. We just talked, and there were a group of girls at KFC who saw that I got along with the guys. One of them was one of their exes, or blah blah blah. And that made me the target of vicious bullying. And I mean vicious, worse than I was ever picked on in high school. I'll expand upon it in the future episode, but I would show up to every shift. And if I saw on the roster that I was working with these girls, I would run to the bathroom and vomit. I was so terrified to work with these people. And one of them was my manager, so I really had no one to go to. So it was a really horrible experience for me. They would just constantly make jabs at me, mostly about how I would work badly. But the reason I worked so badly and performed so poorly was because I had such severe anxiety working with them, knowing they were over my shoulders, just looking for something to make fun of. But they really targeted me again because I just got along with the guys. And that's something that popped up quite a lot in the high school ones. A lot of you got slut shamed for having friends with guys. And that's a reoccurring theme I think that happens. There's always this debate, can you be friends with someone of the opposite sex without wanting to have sex with them? Yeah, I mean, gay people exist. Asexual people exist. Do we really think so little of us as a human race that we just think we have no self-control? I do. I can engage in a conversation with the opposite sex who I regretfully am attracted to. It's proof that sexuality is not a choice. Otherwise, I would switch off my attraction to cis men. But I can engage in a conversation with them and not want to have sex with them. But it seems that a reoccurring theme in our society is that women being friends with guys and having a big group of guy friends must be having sex with all of them. And I saw this happen quite a lot too. The sporty girls in high school would get called sluts a lot because they were often hanging out with the guys. It's just so strange to me. Again, we have self-control as humans. And look, even if they were having gangbangs with the rugby team, good for them. It doesn't matter. Just let people live their lives as long as everyone's consenting and having safe sex. It doesn't matter. It literally doesn't affect you. I'm going to read out some of your submissions in regards to workplace slut shaming. And first, I just want to preface this by saying that some of these that I read were just straight sexual harassment. And if your boss, regardless of whether they're a female or a male or non-binary, if your boss speaks to you in the way that some of these people's managers spoke to them, you should report it to a higher manager. It is absolutely inappropriate, and I am so sorry to the people whose stories I'm about to read that they encountered this. I was 18, working alone at a store wearing knee-length shorts. My boss was checking cameras and called me from his cell phone to tell me I looked like a slut. I got slut-shamed for wanting to be a mechanic. My manager told me that I chase after dick because I spoke to my male work friends at work. This last one, I remember reading this, and this is one of the ones that made me laugh because I was just so dumbfounded. I got slut shamed for working in finances. No joke. What? And now we are going to talk about parent slut shaming because this was, out of all the topics, the most consistent, especially mothers, which I found very disturbing because I have such a strong relationship with my mother. She's never slut shamed me, and to read all of these made me so sad. My dance costumes that were more revealing was apparently slutty to my mum. My mum said I looked like a slut when I was 15 because I dyed my hair bright red. My mum thought I was sleeping with every guy friend I had. These were just a few examples of a large recurring theme of mothers shaming their daughters for their choice of clothing and hairstyle, essentially their means of expressing their identity, and especially how so many of these people submitted specified that they were so young when they received these slut shamings. I look back on some of the submissions I got, and so many people had it happen to them when they were not even 10. And that's so disturbing for me because I remember prior to being 10, really not even understanding the implications of sexuality and sexual appeal. And I think many of us fem bodies learned about sex appeal through being taught to hide it. And that's something that's had such a long-lasting effect on our psyche and on our mental health and our development as women. And it makes me so frustrated how much we get put all the blame of you need to hide yourself, you need to cover yourself. But with that, let's read out some of the dad submissions because this is one that I can resonate with too. I was called a woman of the night by my dad since I visited my boyfriend at night to stay over. I was 27. Called a slut by my dad because I wore short shorts with tights underneath. Getting called a slut by my own dad all because I wanted a boyfriend. Wore a short shirt, dad told me I looked like a prostitute. Yay for slut shaming and anti-sex work rhetoric, woo! It's so unfortunate how much our parents have slut shamed us and how many of us learned about slut shaming through the people that brought us into this world. When I was 18 years old, my sister and I went and stayed in Auckland with my dad for 2 weeks before I went off to university. And I just bought this really cute new pin-up style sailor girl bikini, and I loved it and I felt so confident in it. And me and my sister, we were staying at my dad's apartment and he had a pool downstairs. So we went downstairs and we were swimming. And then my dad comes down to check on us. And he sits at the chair, pulls it towards the pool, and very seriously beckons us to come towards him. And he goes, "Now, girls, remember when you go swimming in the water to keep your chests under the water." And my sister at the time would have been 16 or 15, and I was 18, and I just looked at him, knowing fully well what he was talking about, and I went, "What?" And he went, "You know, just to keep boys from perving." And I felt this bug just crawl through my body. I had never felt more disgusted in my life, hearing my dad essentially sexualize mine and my 16 or 15 year old sister's bodies, telling us we need to hide them in the water at public beaches, at public swimming pools, so that men won't stare at us. If he had said this to me now, I would have turned to him and said, "Are you looking at our bodies like that?" Just to really call him out and make him uncomfortable. But I was 18. I was just so shocked. But I've been conditioned by my dad to just take what he says. So I went, "Okay." And he walked off, and me and my sister just looked at each other and we were like, "Do you want to get out of the pool?" "Yeah, let's get out of the pool." And it really ruined our day. We both just felt so dirty. And I went and put my towel back on and I ran upstairs and got dressed, and I didn't want to wear my bikini after that. That is so disturbing. That's not normal. It's not normal to speak to your daughters like that. Stop teaching daughters to hide our bodies. Stop sexualizing your daughters' bodies. They're our bodies. And it's not my fault, nor is it my responsibility, how others respond to my body. Now, let's talk about boyfriends. Because a consistent pattern when I uploaded the Tell Me a Time You Got Slut Shame story to my Instagram was boyfriend stories. And that was so frustrating for me to read. But also, I've had it happen to me too, so I got it. But just knowing that other people have experienced it too just made me so frustrated. So let's read some of those. My first boyfriend called me a slut for knowing the definition of queef. I'm sorry. I have to laugh at that one. What is wrong with men? Are they okay? I don't think they're okay. Moving on. My ex would slut shame me because other guys would look at me and he'd be mad at me for it. Now, there are a lot more examples that I could read out, but they kind of are off the similar path of my boyfriend slut shamed me because other guys would look at me, or my boyfriend would tell me to change my clothes. And again, it's just putting all of the blame back onto the woman, which isn't fair. And that's something that I know all women and all femme passing folk have struggled with and identify with, is that feeling that we have to carry all of the guilt and shame for something that is not at all our fault. It's this idea that For some reason, as a society, as a collective, we don't want to have this conversation that maybe men are to blame. We live in a patriarchal society, so it is so much easier for us to put the blame on the woman instead of to stop and to think, maybe we need to have a conversation with men and stop them from acting this way and tell them to stop saying these things. But we don't want to do that. It's so much easier to just blame women. And that is why I love the imagery of witches so much, and why I identify as a witch, is that if you look in regards, especially towards the Salem witch trials, but not even just that, Europe as a whole during this time, and how many women were tortured and killed just because a man found her sexually desirable, he would blame her. She's the devil. She's bewitched me. I am but an innocent man, and this sexual woman has put these horrible thoughts in my head. Men do not want to take accountability. It is so much easier for them to blame us, these she-witches, these devil women, these harlots sent from hell by Satan to seduce them away from their wives. It's pathetic, really. And we really, as a society, need to have this conversation to put the blame back on the men. Every time a man slut shames me now, I just say to him, that sounds like a you problem. That's not a me problem. And boyfriends in particular should not be slut shaming their own girlfriends. I wrote a blog post once, Why Are Men So Afraid of Sexually Autonomous Women? And I talked about how Kanye West, who pursued Kim Kardashian, who's known for being, you know, she owns her sexuality. I have very mixed feelings towards the Kardashians, but I have to say, Kim, I feel for her for how much she's been slut-shamed by the media, and I really admire how she's someone that owns her sexuality. And Kanye West genuinely pursued her for this reason. He would always talk about how he loved how sexy she was. And then once they got together, he expected her to tone it down because in his mind, he believed that she was being sexy to attract a mate, and she's attracted him now. You've got me. You've got Kanye West. Why are you still dressing this way? I think men can't comprehend that perhaps women and femme bodies dress for themselves. They're so entitled and egotistical that they think everything we do is for them. So Kanye West was just so gobsmacked that his wife was still wanting to be sexy despite being married to him. And he even went on record saying that he felt inappropriate about his daughter wearing makeup and, you know, short skirts. It just sends shivers down my spine, and it's so gross, and I'm so sick of men putting this narrative onto us. It's not our fault that you can't comprehend why we want to dress this way. And guess what? It's not for you. I just pity cis straight men so much for how close-minded they can be, and how I believe some of them, because of toxic masculinity, which I'll expand upon in future episodes, and because of the patriarchy, may genuinely not possess the level of self-awareness to stop and go, why am I looking at my girlfriend who's dressed all beautiful, and instead of trying to make her feel good, I'm going to tell her to cover her body. Her body. When you are in a relationship with someone, it does not mean you own them. You do not have ownership over their body. Remember that. Even in the BDSM community, where we do talk about, oh, they own me, at least the BDSM community gets consent and understands that it's a fantasy, and that while the whole ownership thing is sexy and fun, it doesn't actually mean that they literally own them and that they get to tell them what to do, unless that's a part of the arrangement that they've come to agree on. But that's what I mean. There's that consent that went in there, and that's why the BDSM community is so amazing, because it's all about consent and agreeing and these pathetic ass men who tear their girlfriends down for dressing sexy. Kanye, I'm looking at you. It's just pathetic, really. And if you're listening to this, if you are in a relationship with someone who makes you feel guilty for dressing a certain way, that is a red flag. Your body is yours, and no one is allowed to tell you how to dress. Not your parents, not your partners, not your friends, only you. We're getting towards the end of this episode, and I want to sort of wrap up with some final thoughts. But first, I'm going to read some miscellaneous submissions that I got that, again, just dumbfounded me. And some of them I read back and I've resonated with myself, I've experienced myself. Others just frustrated me. But here we go. I was slut shamed for having an abortion. I was slut shamed for being skinny, for having big boobs, for having a big butt, for my bra strap showing, for being curvy, for having sex, for not having sex, talking about birth control, being pro-choice. I also have a category here titled Strangers, because even strangers have the audacity. At 14, I refused a ride from a 50-year-old man offering me money for favors. Apparently, safety makes me a slut. Random 30-year-old woman called me a slut in a car park on a 40-plus degree day because I had no bra on. Not saying hello back to a stranger when I was walking past him. Now, reading these aloud, and to you who is listening to these, I think a conclusion we can all come to is that slut shaming can happen from anyone. We've had parents, we've had school friends, we have bosses slut shaming us, we have colleagues, we have random people on the street we don't know. And also, one thing I think we can all agree on is that you can get slut shamed for anything. You can work in finance and you're a slut. If you don't smile at a stranger, you're a slut. If you reject a man's advances, you are a slut. You're a slut if you have an opinion. You're a slut for having a body. You're a slut for being thin. You're a slut for being curvy. We're all just sluts in the eyes of the patriarchy, just for existing as women or with femme bodies. And that's what I think the most frustrating thing is that I cannot justify slut shaming at all. There's just nothing in it that I resonate with. I hate that it's this thing that is so common and consistent in our society that we have a terminology for it. It just goes to show it doesn't matter what you do. You can be slut shamed for anything. And that's something that I learned and realized, fuck it. I'm a slut if I do, I'm a slut if I don't, so I may as well do what makes me happy. And I think being slut shamed so much throughout my life really played into why I ended up becoming a sex worker. Because I've been shamed for this thing so much, I figured, I'm a slut if I do, I'm a slut if I don't, I may as well make profit off it. I have always been a slut to people because I am a woman who is loud, who has an opinion, who dresses however I want. I'm a slut because men find me sexually desirable. You're a slut because you have boobs. You're a slut because you speak. You're a slut because you're friends with boys. You're a slut because you wear nail polish, because you wear track pants, because your outfit is too revealing. Moral of the story, we're sluts regardless, so let's profit off it. Thank you so much for tuning in, and thank you to all of those who this was over a year ago now, but submitted their slut shaming to me. If you want to read more, you can go check out at Vixen Temple blog on Instagram. I have a highlight, it's called Slut Shaming. Go check them all out. There were more that I wasn't even able to post because I ran out of time, but there's plenty there that you can look through and laugh and cry and just think, oh my gosh, we have so much work to do. Be sure to be following me at Vixen Temple blog on Instagram so that when I put up future topics, you can engage in the conversation with me. Once again, it remains completely anonymous, so you don't have to worry about that. You can follow me on Twitter at Vixen Temple blog. Thank you again for tuning in. I hope you have a fantastic week. I would like to thank Carly for being with us today, and I hope that listening to this helped you want to remove those shackles of slut shaming from you, because remember, you're a slut if you do, you're a slut if you don't. Do what makes you happy. Aroha nui, and I will see you all in the next episode. Thank you so much for listening to the Vixen Temple podcast. I would like to conclude this episode with a poem by American civil rights activist, poet, and overall badass, Maya Angelou. It's one of my favorite poems, Still I Rise, an empowering poem for Black women everywhere. You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may trod me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I'll rise. Does my sassiness upset you? Why are you beset with gloom? 'Cause I walk like I've got oil wells pumping in my living room. Just like moons and like suns, with the certainty of tides, just like hope springing high, still I'll rise. Do you want to see me broken? Bowed head and lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries. Does my haughtiness offend you? Don't take it awful hard, 'cause I laugh like I've got gold mines digging in my own backyard. You may shoot me with your words, you may cut me with your eyes, you may kill me with your hatefulness, but still, like air, I'll rise. Does my sexiness upset you? Does it come as a surprise that I dance like I've got diamonds at the meeting of my thighs? Out of the huts of history's shame, I rise. Up from a past that's rooted in pain, I rise. I'm a black ocean, leaping and wide, welling and swelling I bear in the tide, leaving behind nights of terror and fear, I rise. Into a daybreak that's wondrously clear, I rise. Bringing the gift that my ancestors gave, I am the dream and the hope of the slave. I rise. I rise.